Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, page 939. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest amongst you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. I'm going to hand over to Mikey for today's talk.
May I add my welcome to Chris's. It's really nice to have you all with us if we've not met before. My name's Mikey Williams. Well, what is your aim for the coming year? Guess with the city trying to rebuild back towards normality, it feels like a bit of a new start, chance for a bit of a reset. So I wonder if you have any particular aims, maybe to adjust back to office life safely, or the new normal, whatever that is, to progress up the next rung of the career ladder maybe. Perhaps personal aims for our family, relationships, moving home. Maybe we've got big hopes to get fit after 18 months of our daily commute being limited from our bed to our desk just next door. Well, today here we see someone in the Apostle Paul who had an incredibly focused aim. We see it there in verse 15 of Romans 1. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Now, going to Rome might seem like a pretty decent aim for us as well, if we've had various foreign holidays postponed and that sort of thing. But Paul's not got his eyes on the sun and the sights. Now, do you see, it's a mission trip. He wants to go to preach the gospel. Last week, we saw how Paul's life revolves around sharing this good news. It's all about Jesus, God's saving Son, and conquering King. And although Paul's diary has been chock-a-block with preaching engagements in many other regions, he says in verse 10 that his constant prayer has been that he might at last succeed in coming to Rome to preach there too. So why Rome? Why is Paul so eager to go to Rome? Well, you'll see two reasons on the sheet. The first is because of the opportunity to build up. Please have a look down at verse 11, if you would. Paul says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Initially, that language of imparting some spiritual gift sounds a bit cryptic. We might think, is this some special thing that only Paul could give? But no, Paul explains that he simply means the gift of encouraging each other in the gospel, the encouragement of spending time with other gospel people, others who are living out their faith. It's a simple but significant gift that any Christian can give to another. And the result is that both sides are built up in their faith, strengthened to keep living out the obedience of faith. This strengthening is one of Paul's great aims. But the surprise is that it's an important aim even for these Roman Christians who are actually going really well already in their faith. Did you notice that in verse 8? Paul started by thanking God for these Christians because their faith was proclaimed in all the world. This was a group of faithful followers who were known publicly and widely for their trust in Jesus. So do they really need more strengthening? Well, Paul would say yes. And even for Paul himself, he says that he wants to go for mutual encouragement. He's aware that he needs to be strengthened as well, even as an apostle. So it may be that we've been a Christian for a long time, and we might assume that our faith will hold up fine without needing all this kind of constant encouragement. But actually, I guess the implication here is that without this regular strengthening, our spiritual health, it won't just kind of stay constant, it will naturally weaken. Like if you've ever hurt your leg and ended up on crutches. Well, our muscles are used to that constant use and strengthening, aren't they? And as soon as that stops, well, those muscles start weakening, withering away. And the same is true with our faith. So no matter how long we might have been a Christian or how mature we might consider ourselves, here Paul shows us just how important it is to keep being encouraged and strengthened, built up. And the key thing that does this strengthening work that we all need, well, hopefully it's obvious, but it is the gospel. Verse 15, Paul is eager to preach the gospel to these Christians. Now, that might seem actually a little bit strange to some of us. We might think of preaching the gospel as the thing that needs to first happen for someone to be saved. But now that we're Christians, well, maybe we think we need to move on to other things that will build us up in our faith more effectively. Special theology courses, maybe, new doctrines, apologetics. But actually, Paul shows us here that what all Christians need to be built up is simply the gospel. Simply reappreciating those same gospel truths that first saved us. Now, of course, we can always drill down deeper into those gospel truths. That's why Paul has written this very substantial letter to these Romans. But this whole book, as rich as it is essentially just the gospel. Because the way into the Christian life, the gospel, is also the way on in the Christian life. So in many ways, this letter is all these Roman Christians need. They've got the gospel, and they can use it to encourage each other and to be strengthened. And yet, despite that, Paul is still eager to travel all the way to Rome to build them up in person. Why? Well, I guess it's because Paul knows that the best way to really help the gospel take root in people's lives is to come and see someone in the flesh. He considers the time, the effort, the cost that it would have taken to trek right across the Mediterranean from where he was. He considers that cost worth it for those face-to-face meetings. And actually, I guess many of us probably will be able to testify to this worthwhile nature from the last year. I mean, in the height of lockdowns, when Christians weren't even able to see each other, even on a Sunday, well, we were thankful for those online church services, weren't we? But because we had the gospel, which in many senses was all we needed, and yet it just wasn't the same, was it? I know many still really struggled to keep going without that in-person encouragement. Sadly, many people's faith was really weakened. And so what a refreshment it's been to be able to meet again physically with brothers and sisters. Conversations can just go deeper, encouragements can be more personal, challenges more real, strengthening is just more effective. And Paul knew it. He was willing to trek across countless countries for it. Being with people in person is simply the best way to encourage and strengthen each other with the gospel. But this strengthening work, it really is something that we all need. Even the Romans needed it, and even Paul himself. And so if we are followers of Jesus, well, are we making the most of opportunities that we have to build up other Christians? Opportunities to strengthen others' faith, and opportunities to be strengthened ourselves? Do we see that as a real priority, like Paul clearly does here? Do we look for a church and maybe listen to podcasts that faithfully teach the gospel, letting the Bible set the agenda rather than maybe enjoying teaching that just focuses on other ideas which maybe sound very interesting but actually are quite just tangential to the gospel? Are we stuck in at a good church to the extent that we can genuinely build others up there? Are we there in person if we're able to be? To chat to others about the talk rather than maybe just opting for online church because it's easier or comfier in front of the screen on the sofa. Are we stuck into a Bible study group where we can really help each other to be applying the gospel to our lives? And what about the other Christian maybe in your office who's in need of encouragement, Paul would say? How could you strengthen each other? Could you arrange a call or a meeting to have a quick catch-up and share a verse together? Might even be a good reason to consider coming into the office more if you're allowed to do that. Maybe that it's been over a year since you've seen another Christian in your office and you've got no idea if they're struggling. Or what about the new person who we don't even know that they're a Christian because we've been at home and we've been missing all that kind of non-work casual chat around the edges? Might it be worth considering coming in maybe an extra day a week to grab lunch with that person, to go to the lunchtime talks here together, to keep them going, to be strengthened ourselves as well? Sure, there'd be a cost. Guess we'd be losing maybe an hour of our day on the commute. Be a financial cost getting into the city. Guess there's the effort of putting on smart trousers rather than just staying at home in our pajamas, maybe. But if we ask Paul if that cost was worth it, well, I think we know what he'd say, wouldn't we? He knew the vital importance of building other Christians up. But actually, the opportunity to build up is only half the story. In fact, maybe even less than half. Because Paul is also desperate to go to Rome for the opportunity to reach out. Have a look down to verse 13, if you would. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Paul wants to reap a harvest not only among the Christians in Rome, but also among the rest of the Gentiles. That is, the many nations who do not yet know the good news about Jesus. He wants to reach Greeks and barbarians, he says. That is, the civilized people at the time and the uncivilized. Paul wanted to share the gospel with all sorts of people, from all backgrounds, upbringings, cultures, beliefs. He longs for all people to come to know and enjoy the joy of eternal salvation, the assurance of forgiveness, the true purpose of living for King Jesus. And Rome was the perfect place to reach out like this. Rome was the most important hub in the world at the time, and so it was a melting pot of different peoples and cultures. Paul knew that if Rome could be thoroughly impacted by the gospel, well, then the good news about Jesus would go global. People would be taking it back to all sorts of countries all over the world. And so Paul was naturally super excited about such a wonderful opportunity to reach out. But here's the thing, he really wanted the Roman Christians to be excited about that opportunity too. In verse 13, he says, I want you to know how often I've intended to come to Rome for these opportunities. He wants them to get on board with this great vision of reaching the rest of the Gentiles. He doesn't want the Roman Christians to be inward focused, content just with their Christian gatherings. He wants to expand their vision to those beyond their church meetings, to proactively reach out, and not just to people who are like them. I guess he's saying, have you realized the unique opportunity that is all around you, right on your doorstep? Rome was such a strategic place for reaching out with the gospel. It was number one on Paul's bucket list, if you like. But I wonder if Paul were still around today, which places would be on his bucket list as the best opportunities for the spread of the gospel? Well, I may be biased, but surely the city of London would be right up there on the list, wouldn't it? I mean, one of the most important international global hubs, the number of people that flock into London and that travel here from all over the world. Paul would have been super excited to come to London. And isn't that just an invigorating thought? I mean, it's easy just to kind of get very used to being in London, passing by all the different faces on the street and in our office. But let's try to see London as Paul would. We have the most incredible opportunity all around us access to one of the most strategic harvest fields in the world, right on our doorstep. Paul would have been begging to come into the office as much as possible. He'd be in 5 days a week, as long as there were people around for him to talk to in his breaks. And Paul wants Christians to share his excitement at this opportunity, to let it shape the way that they think and act. So maybe think of that colleague who you just have nothing at all in common with. Maybe they're from a very different culture. Maybe you're just total opposites in personality or the way you work. Well, either you could just sort of dread every interaction with them just because it's tricky. Or we could see that as an opportunity to try and share the good news with someone who is very different from us. You may have never heard about Jesus before. Likewise, maybe the new grad who's joined our team. Do we see that as a bit of a pain because it's going to take up a lot of our time shadowing them and correcting their mistakes and so on? Or do we see it as an opportunity to show someone that there is more to life than success and money? Or maybe the cleaner, the security guard, the cafe worker, who often looks a bit grumpy when we see them. Or do we see that just as a cue to kind of maybe just keep our own head down as well, avoid eye contact? Or do we see that as an opportunity to try and make an inroad there with a smile, maybe trying to start to get to know them a little bit? Or maybe we're planning to change jobs at some point, or we're told that we'll be moving team in a few weeks. Will we see that as an excuse, just to sort of go through the motions in those final weeks, doing basically the bare minimum, not replying to all our emails, even if it sort of peeves off a few of our colleagues? Or will we see those final weeks as a brilliant opportunity where we really have very little to lose? And so being very kind, diligent, but also very bold in trying to speak to them about Jesus, maybe asking where they stand with Jesus. Well, at this point, we might be thinking, okay, I can see there are opportunities, and that could be exciting, but it's just so hard to turn conversations to Jesus, particularly in the workplace. And yes, undoubtedly, that is the hardest bit. I guess it is helpful to try and build up to those conversations by maybe trying to mention, if we haven't already, that we go to church, or maybe that you've been at a lunchtime talk just this afternoon. But Rico Tice talks about getting to that point where we need to cross the pain line, where it risks getting awkward in the conversation. Because ultimately, people do need to hear the gospel, don't they? We need to get onto Jesus, and that is the scary part. It is hard. But again, I think Paul's mentality here is a real help to us. Have a look down at verse 14. He says, "I am under obligation." See, Paul was under obligation as an apostle to share the good news of Jesus with everyone. But actually, his situation is not so different from our own, in that all Christians have been tasked by Jesus with the Great Commission. And certainly, Paul is trying to recruit these Roman Christians here to get on board with this mission as well, isn't he? So there is a sense in which this obligation is there for all of Jesus' followers. Now, we don't want this to cripple us and just make us feel really guilty, but rightly understood, I think this idea of obligation can be really helpful. It's certainly challenging, I've definitely found that, so I've considered it this last week. But isn't it right and healthy, actually, to feel some sense of obligation to those that we see and speak to day by day, week by week? I mean, who else is going to reach them with the gospel? Who else is better placed to share that news with them? This idea of an obligation helps us to remember what is most important and gives significance to every single interaction that we have with people. And it is the mindset that will help us to cross the pain line. It is the mindset that drove Paul to try and break new ground in reaching all kinds of different people, no matter how little they had in common. He felt obliged to everyone he met to tell them the gospel. And again, what a difference that mindset could make to our workplaces. One example, one Christian who still works in the city here took this challenge seriously. He was at a big company, hundreds of colleagues, But increasingly, he felt this sense of an obligation to share the good news of Jesus that he'd come to treasure with his colleagues. And so he decided to come in early one day, and he got a short gospel tract explaining the good news of Jesus, and he put one on every single desk in his multi-floor office. Well, predictably, HR weren't too chuffed at this, and he was summoned to them. But he wasn't fazed, because he just knew that he wanted his colleagues to hear of Jesus. He knew he'd done a good thing. And actually, he was told to go and apologize to everyone. And so he spent the whole rest of the morning going around every single colleague and having great conversations. Saying, oh, I've been told to come and apologize for leaving these booklets here. I'm so sorry. And everyone was sort of picking the tracks out of the bin after that to have a proper look. So who knows what the Lord might do if every Christian in the city, imagine, had that kind of a mindset. Well, I don't know if you have big aims for this coming year, but wouldn't it be great to prioritize Paul's two great aims here, building other Christians up and reaching out with the gospel? Sometimes it can feel like a struggle maybe to balance both of those things well, but really, actually, at the end of the day, it's just one work, isn't it? It's just sharing the gospel with everyone. And of course, they feed into each other. The more that we are strengthened as Christians with the gospel, the more that we'll want to share it with others. Well, we must close, but it is just worth saying that if anyone is here just looking in, maybe, or you're not sure why Jesus would be such good news, well, please do ask someone, and please do come back, because next week we're going to see exactly why the gospel is such good news as we carry on in the next bit of Romans. But why don't I close us in a short prayer now. Father God, thank you so much for how Paul shows us here the importance of building each other up with the gospel and also reaching others who don't yet know you. Please help us to have shaped priorities. Please shape our thoughts and our actions to make the most of the opportunities that are all around us. In Jesus' name, amen.